service from the First United Church of Christ in Sauk City.
WRPQ Baraboo.
W279 EG Reedsburg.
We take you to St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo for the Sunday morning worship service. For worship times, visit stjohnsbaraboo.org.
Few weeks has been meaningful ministry, and that ministry that God established has come for our benefit so that we could be blessed through it. And today we're taking up the idea that God Himself in Christ models good shepherding. He does it so that He can take care of the false teachings that are out there and reestablish His people as He desires. Please take time. I forgot to say this to you earlier. Hey, say hello to each other. Wave. Pretend you're friendly. You know? Say hello. Take time to sign the friendship register as you have opportunity. It really helps us to do our ministry as well. We begin our worship with our first hymn, hymn 601. All people that on earth do dwell. Hymn 601, all people that on earth do dwell.
We invite you to the Sunday morning worship service from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. St. John's is a member of the Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod and proclaims the Word of God to a confused and uneasy world. Let us now prepare our hearts and minds and ask the Lord's blessing on our worship this morning. Pastor Timothy Kuski will bring us a message from God's Word, speaking on the scripture reading from Jeremiah chapter 23, verses 1 through 6. He models a shepherd's heart. Our worship this morning will follow setting one that is found on page 154 in the Christian Worship Hymnal. We will join the congregation opening our service and singing hymn number 601 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, All People That on Earth Do Dwell, hymn number 601 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
Please rise. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed are those whose transgressions are forgiven, whose sins are covered. Blessed are they whose sin the Lord does not count against them. Let us confess our sins to the Lord. Almighty and merciful Father, we have strayed from your ways like lost sheep. We have followed what we have devised and desired in our hearts. We have offended you and sinned against your holy law. We have done those things that we should not have done. We have not done those things that we should have done. Have mercy on us, Lord. Spare us, forgive us, and restore us, according to your promises in Christ Jesus. Our gracious Father in heaven has been merciful to us. He has sent his only Son, Jesus Christ, who gave his life as the atoning sacrifice for the sins of the whole world. Therefore, as a called servant of Christ and by his authority, I forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Lord, have mercy. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Lord God, the strength of all who trust in you, mercifully hear our prayers. Be gracious to us in our weakness, and give us strength to keep your commandments in all we say and do. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Amen. Please be seated for our psalm. You need to open your Psalter to Psalm 23, and we will sing in the Psalter Psalm 23F. It's on page 110. Page 110, Psalm 23, my shepherd will supply my need.
We will now sing Psalm 23F, My Shepherd Will Supply My Need. This can be followed in your Psalter on page 110. Psalm 23F, found on page 110 of the Psalter.
Psalm certainly is a lesson, and so our second lesson is from Hebrews chapter 1, chapter 13, selected verses, talking about dealing with our, especially our spiritual leaders. Remember your leaders who spoke the word of God to you. Carefully consider the outcome of their way of life and imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today and forever. Obey your leaders and submit to them, for they are keeping watch over your souls as men who will give an account. Obey them so that they may do this with joy and not with groaning, for that would be of no benefit to you. Pray for us, because we are sure that we have a good conscience, and because in everything we want to conduct ourselves in an honorable way. I urge you to do this even more, so that I may be restored to you quickly. Now may the God of peace, who brought back from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, in connection with his blood, which established the eternal testament, may he equip you with everything good, every good thing to do his will, as he works in us what is pleasing in his sight through Jesus Christ, to whom to him be glory forever and ever. Amen. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please rise. We'll sing the gospel acclamation. As always, our gospel lesson sets the tone for the day. It's Mark chapter 6, verses 30 through 34. The apostles gathered around Jesus and reported to him all the things they had done and taught. Remember, last week, Jesus was sending them out. He said to them, "Come away by yourselves to a secluded place and rest a while. For there were so many people coming and going that they did not even have a chance to eat. They went away in the boat to a deserted place by themselves. But many people saw them leave and knew where they were going. They ran there on foot from all the towns and arrived ahead of them. When Jesus stepped out of the boat, he saw a large crowd. His heart went out to them because they were like sheep without a shepherd. He began to teach them many things." The gospel of the Lord. Praise be to you, O Christ. Please be seated for our next tune, Thy Strong Word, hymn 630. Thy Strong Word.
We'll join the congregation in singing hymn number 630 from the Christian Worship Hymnal. Thy Strong Word, hymn 630 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.
I pray that out of his glorious riches he may strengthen you with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith. Dear people who hear God's word, when I was a bit younger and I was in need of a short-term job, I got one. I did such a bad job that the boss fired me. Still remember that day. I didn't know a bushing from, I don't know some of the other terms that they got in electrical circles, but I didn't know it. And they had me trying to put the parts away. Oh, man. Wrong move on their part and on mine. I learned a little bit, but, you know, they couldn't keep having the wrong parts in the wrong places. So, they fired me. You ever been to that meeting, some surprise meeting that your boss has? Maybe you're thinking, oh, a raise, a promotion. But then the pessimism kicks in, a critique, a tongue-lashing, worse, fired. In a way, that's exactly what God is doing in our text today as he fires his spiritual leaders in Israel. This would have included both the kings and the prophets. We read, "Woe to the shepherds who destroy and scatter the sheep of my pasture, declares the Lord. Therefore, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says about the shepherds who shepherd my people. You have scattered my flock. You have driven them away. You have not taken care of them, but I will certainly take care of you because of the evil things you have done, declares the Lord. I will gather what is left of my flock out of all the countries where I have driven them, and I will bring them back to their pasture. There they will be fruitful and multiply. I will raise up shepherds over them who will shepherd them. They will no longer be afraid or terrified, nor will any be missing, declares the Lord." And here's the most powerful part. Listen. "The days are coming, declares the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, who will reign wisely as king and establish justice and righteousness on earth. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. This is his name by which he will be called, the Lord, our righteousness." This is God's word. God sent his prophet Jeremiah to the king and in front of all the people. Jeremiah's job was to preach fiery sermons to bring as many as possible to repentance. But his ministry was a really sad one because people continued to turn away from God. They had seen a century before the northern kingdom disappear, and they lived under threats for years. And they tried everything but really going to the Lord and praying to him. But now God calls his ministers to account. He calls those who claim to speak for him in ancient Israel to his office. He calls them in to give them a real tongue lashing and then to fire them, literally, the fires of hell. You see, God needs to teach us all, including your ministers, that he holds shepherds accountable, and then when he has done so, he also models what good shepherding really is. Our good shepherd is the Lord, our righteousness. Now, think of who those shepherds really were. God held these men to high standards. The kings of Judah, they were the religious leaders of God's people. And they were supposed to do that dual role as the king. And they also had priests and prophets to lead them. And they were supposed to help each other to stay faithful to the word, but it rarely worked. He gave them privilege and responsibility, and they took it, but they took it as a license to speak their own imaginings. They took it as an opportunity to promote their own strategies and theories. They had the arrogance to edit God and add and subtract to what he said, and so they scattered God's sheep. Not so much that they left the place where they lived, but they became scatterbrained, as it were, and they no longer believed in him. These priests and prophets didn't give him anything to believe in. They basically told him, you got to be good or you're going to die. And that's really what the way of the world is. These people who try to hide behind, I'm a good person, they don't understand how much forgiveness they need. They don't understand how much it is to stand before a perfect God. And later in the chapter, God gets really specific on these folks, how God describes the rest of the chapter, perverting the word of God, committing and promoting adultery. I did not send these prophets. They have run with their own message, he says in one place. They prophesy lies in my name, he says in another. The prophets and priests do horrible things in God's name. Yes, declares the Lord, I am against the prophets who wag their own tongues and yet declare, the Lord declares. God has made it important for us to watch out for false teaching for our spirit, and that comes in so many ways, and it comes from so many different directions in our day and age. In days past, it was usually one philosophy that was attacking the church. Now, it's all the philosophies that have come before are being renewed and aimed at the church. How important it is for us to know what God teaches and to really believe it and apply it. But now, this really applies mostly to us in terms of our shepherds who stand in the pulpit. We don't have, God doesn't give the responsibility for our country to the president to make sure that the right teaching is taught. He just doesn't do that. But he does give us preachers and teachers who speak what God says and apply the principles and the lessons to today. God has given these ministers his marching orders. Go and preach everything I have commanded you, he said. In other words, he doesn't limit anything that he taught. And we know where that's found. That's found in the scriptures. He gives them a wide range of life with living issues to deal with. This is the job of your spiritual leaders. It's a shepherd's job to care, and that's what Jesus is modeling for us. That in every generation, there are challenges to the morality and to the faithfulness of God's people. Are you willing to be one who truly listens to faithful ministers? Are you willing to question the ministers you have to make sure that they are teaching what is right and good, that they are preaching exactly what God wants them to preach and not the imaginings of their own minds? I hope and pray that you always have pastors who love you, that want the best for you. Not the kind that preach the pros and cons of specific methods of environmentalism. Sure, God preaches and teaches that we need to take care of our earth, but it's not my place to tell you how best to do that. And then there's the political issues that come up, which are what I always call the silly season. It's very important to vote. I want to make sure that's clear. God gave us this government, and it has been an amazing blessing to us. But just like Churchill, I believe, what did he say about democracy? I say it so many times at these periods. He said, democracy is the worst government ever. And then he said, I dare you to find a better one. Right? It's the worst because it's so hard to convince others. It's so hard to talk about the moral issues that are out there, from trans agenda, LGBTQ, abortion, stem cells. Boy, and there's still even more that keep on piling up, that government takes a hold of and doesn't let the church really stand on what God says. We live in a world where divorce has taken over in so many lives that people aren't even willing to go into a marriage thinking that they're going to stay with it. How truly sad, throwing people away. It's when you get to those 30 and 40 years together when the best really starts coming. How important for us to really know what God says, and that's why God demands a lot from his preachers, and that's why he models it to us. You see, did you notice the emotion there as God really went after these false teachers? His heart was for his sheep. His heart was for those who loved him. They are the spiritual Israel, the believers, the remnant out of the flock that had been scattered. But in the end, God also wants you to be concerned about what your minister teaches you, because it's your soul. And as I hinted earlier, you have the right and the responsibility to check up on your pastors like the Bereans did. But he gives us only one place to do that checking up, and that is in his word. Because this is his voice. You don't go to heaven because your pastor is a Lutheran or because Lutherans do. You go to heaven because you believe in Christ Jesus for the forgiveness of sins. You have the responsibility from God to make sure you hear the word properly and find that joy in his mercy. Find that helpfulness in the fellowship that we have in this flock. Find the necessity of doing what God asks us to do in our own homes. And just one more important thing to point out. Well, two, really. One is he used two commandments on this kind of thing. Number one is the second commandment, where he rails against false teaching. And the third commandment, where he says, go and hear my word. Not because he needs you to be here, but because you need to be here. And the second point is this. Men of the congregation, be the spiritual leaders in your families. Stand up and make it important that your children are connected to your God. This is the way God wants you to do it. It always reminds me of a fourth and fifth grade teacher from way back when who had an 11th commandment. His 11th commandment was this: thou shalt not be buffaloed. He'd always try to lead us astray and see if we would catch it. You know? He said, thou shalt not be buffaloed. Let's not be buffaloed in God's word. Let's pay attention to that second and third commandment. And men, stand up for your for that faith in your family. Remember that meeting with your boss? Now, it could go better than getting fired. But, you know, it's really interesting how this one works out. It wouldn't have been real pleasant to be any of those people of Judah, as they were going to be exiled for 70 years from their land. But he came and he gave them the bad news. What he had predicted way back in Deuteronomy 18 is what he was about to do. And he needed to fix a problem by so doing. He hired you to do the job, but now he has to come and fix the problem. Do you think your boss is going to be really happy? Oh no. Oh no. But this is exactly what God did. Take a look at some of those passages. I'm looking at the wrong one. Guess I've got to find the right one. There it is. I will bring them back to their pastures. I will gather what is left of my flock. I think this is a wonderful and powerful reminder of what God did. He sent his son, who is true God, to be here with a bunch of sinners. He sent him into the sewers of sin. He sent him into the worst place ever for someone who is perfect, and he chose to go. He wanted to go because he had a love that his father had for those shepherds. Again, we see the modeling as a good shepherd, but let us also see what he leads us to. As the psalm says, he leads us beside quiet waters. There's some wonderful lines in that hymn we sang where he leads us by his grace and to the love of Christ Jesus. He comes so that we will be fruitful and increase. Not so much that we will be fruitful and increase in terms of how many we are, but that's certainly what he wants to do. But also in the idea that we will grow in our own spirits and strong in the faith that we believe, just as you grow a sheep to make sure they give the best wool. You don't want that poor sheep to go bald because it's sick. This is exactly what this shepherd does. Those of us who are sick with sin have received the righteous shepherd. How wonderful that is. And look the way it says it here. So wonderful when we think about what Jesus is. In his days, Judah will be saved and Israel will dwell securely. He's talking about salvation. He's talking about being saved from sin, death, and the devil. This was his duty. This was his saving responsibility, and he will do it as a king comes to take on his own enemies. And it's amazing to me when I hear people talking about how I got saved, how I made my decision for Christ, when we have something like this. It makes it so clear that the saving that is done by Jesus when he comes. Christ saved you. Christ paid the price for you. Christ was not only the good shepherd, but also the sheep, the Lamb of God, who gave his life as the sacrifice for his sins, the absolutely perfect one. It describes him twice in here as righteous, right? That in and of himself, as part of his essence, he had no sin, so that he could be the sacrifice for our sin. We need to understand who we really are. We're a guppy in front of a hungry shark. We have no hope. We have no ability to fight the devil as we ought. No desire at times to fight for our spiritual lives. But he comes. He defends us with his word. That's why it's so important for you to hear it. And the most important part of it is the name that he's given. This is the name by which he will be called, the Lord our righteousness. A lot of people like to mess with that a little bit. Some say our righteous Lord. But that's not what was there. This is clearly our righteousness. It's a noun that's there that has the our connected to it. If our is connected to it, it's certainly not an adjective. Try to do that sometime. All right? Our yellow doesn't exactly work, you know. No, this is righteousness. Not the quality of who he is. This is his very essence and describes who he is. He's not only the one who provided it to us, but he has it in and of himself. He is the source of grace and forgiveness. And he provides it and produces it. And by his strong word, as we sang in the song, he applies that righteousness to us, even though we don't deserve it. What an amazing God we have. The righteousness that we have before God is his, so that we shine before him as holy despite our sins. To depend on your own righteousness is to insult the Lord our righteousness. To deny that he has paid for every sin of yours and that you need him to just ignores the hard work that he had to do and gives his death. Boy, what'd he die for? Nothing? No, he did. He aggressively supported the justice that comes for salvation. God certainly talks in the scriptures about doing justice in a society, that is a key to a good society and an important one for a spiritual society. But that's not what he's talking about here. He's establishing the salvation of sin, salvation of us from our sins when he came as the Lord, our righteousness. The good acts that we do are wonderful, and God appreciates them. God wants us to keep on doing them, but they do nothing for our salvation because God required us to be holy in the first place. And if anything has made us less than holy, that is what his righteousness is for. So, as we go through a world that challenges our faith every step of the way, as we live through this world that causes us to doubt his love, remember the Lord our righteousness. He came and he calls us to himself as a shepherd calls his sheep. And he speaks his word into our hearts to remind us how by his declaration we have eternal life. By his efforts we are with him forever. And remember the standard he set for his shepherds. Hold them to a high standard of love and of teaching, because the Lord our righteousness has modeled that as true shepherding. Amen. Please rise. May the Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement and good hope, encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Amen. We continue with the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day he rose again in accordance with the Scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who in unity with the Father and the Son is worshipped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated for our prayers. Our offering will be at the door on the way out in the box. We bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you that you have given us a church and a church body which insists on orthodoxy, on striving for the true teaching that comes only from your word and not from our own imaginings. Lord God, bless and encourage us in that teaching that we may grow, that we may find strength in the words that you bring us. Help us to hear your voice and not necessarily the voice of our pastors, but through them, bless them so that they may bless us with your wisdom and your strength, which can only build us up. Dear Heavenly Father, we pray for fathers to be like you, zealous for the Lord, zealous for this teaching, zealous for the sheep that are in their hands. Help them, dear Lord, to grow in faith and knowledge that they may pass it on to the generations to come. Lord God, strengthen us to follow your commandments, especially the second and the third, that we may hear your word, gladly hear and learn it and do so regularly. All this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. We continue with our sacrament.
The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. The Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give Him thanks and praise.
Please rise. It is truly good and right that we should at all times and in all places give you thanks, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who promised that wherever two or three come together in His name, there He is with them to shepherd His flock until He comes again in glory. Therefore, with all the saints on earth and the hosts of heaven, we praise your holy name and join their glorious song.
We give thanks to you, O God, through your dear Son, Jesus Christ, whom you sent to be our Savior, our Redeemer, and the messenger of your grace. As we remember Jesus' death and resurrection, we thank you that you have gathered us together to receive your Son's body and blood. Send us your Spirit, unite us as one, and strengthen our faith so that we may praise you in your Son, Jesus Christ. Through him, we glorify and honor you. O God, our Father, with the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And in your name we also pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. The peace of the Lord be with you always. Oops, I forgot to do the words of institution. Sorry about that. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, "Take and eat. This is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." Then he took the cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for you for the remission of all your sins. Do this whenever you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
Thank you.
seated, but do come forward for communion.
We thank everyone for joining us today at St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin. On Monday, St. John's softball team will be playing at Field 1 at Pierce Park at 7 p.m. On Tuesday, we have our morning Bible class at 9:30 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall. That is actually Thursday, July 25th, 9:30 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall, morning Bible class, followed by worship next Thursday evening at 6:30 p.m. in the sanctuary. And we have also a Bible study at 7 p.m. on Thursday nights in the Fellowship Hall. On Saturday, July 27th, we have our men's Bible class. This will be at 9 a.m. in the Fellowship Hall at St. John's Church. And then Sunday, July 28th, we'll have worship at 9 a.m. And then we have our congregation meeting. That is our quarterly congregation meeting from voting members of St. John's on July 28th after the service. And then on Monday the 29th, softball resumes at 7 p.m. at Pierce Park. We thank everyone for joining us today. For more information about St. John's Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin, you may go to stjohnsbaraboo.org. Our distribution hymn this Sunday would be hymn number 756 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Shepherd of Tender Youth. That would be hymn number 756. Again, we thank everyone for joining us today, and we appreciate you finding us on Facebook and YouTube. The Sunday morning worship hour from St. John's Evangelical Lutheran Church in Baraboo, Wisconsin comes to you at 10 a.m. every Sunday morning on radio station 99.7 Max FM of Baraboo or streaming online at 99.7maxfm.com. We invite you to worship with us again next Sunday at this same time. The television rebroadcast of service will be shown at noon today on Baraboo Spectrum Cable Channel 10 and Antenna TV 43. You may also watch our services on St. John's Lutheran Church School's Facebook and YouTube pages at 9 a.m. every Sunday. St. John's Lutheran School serves children in the 3O preschool through the 8th grade. This broadcast is made possible by your contributions to the Media Ministry Fund. We thank you. Your letters and comments address to St. John's Lutheran Church, 624 East Street, Baraboo, Wisconsin, 53913 are appreciated. The television producer is Wendy Grant. This is David Grant. May God bless you and lead you to a strong relationship with Jesus Christ, our Savior. We encourage you to live for Him who died for you.
Give thanks to the Lord, for He is
good. Whenever we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. We give thanks, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us with this saving gift. We pray that through it you will strengthen our faith and you will increase our love for one another. We ask this in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Please be seated for our final hymn, hymn 920, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation. Hymn 920, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation.
We will now close our service in singing our final hymn, hymn number 920 from the Christian Worship Hymnal, Christ is Made the Sure Foundation, hymn 920 from the Christian Worship Hymnal.